Let's turn then in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Thanks to Michael and to Gary for bringing God's word last week whilst I was away. We do appreciate that, and I'm sure that you were blessed from what our brothers brought from God's word last week. I'm going to read this morning from verses 1 to 7. It's especially verses 3 to 7 that we're looking at the moment, but let's just set it in its context. Peter writing said, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So Peter's purpose for writing this epistle and his first epistle is that he wants to stir up the minds of believers, to stir up your pure minds. He said there's only one kind of person in this world who could possibly have a pure mind, and that is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, for reasons that we talked about several weeks ago. Although your pure mind can become affected and soiled if you actually take in too much of the stuff of this world. And that's why Peter writes. He wants to stir up their minds by reminding them of what the Word of God says. The words of the holy prophets. He's talking about the prophets of the Old Testament, whose words we have contained within these scriptures. And of the words of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, who taught the word of Christ and teach us what Christian believers should believe, and who give instruction of how a Christian believer ought to live. He's trying to stir up our minds. And that's what we need, friends. And that's what this is really all about. And there are all sorts of reasons why we need our minds stirred up by the word of God. I've already said that if we don't, if we allow simply the stuff of this world to come in, it will affect us. It'll affect what we think, it'll affect what we believe, it'll affect the way we live. The only thing you can possibly do to counteract that is to regularly take in the word of God. Okay? But there's another reason here too. He says, because in the last days, scoffers will come, walking according to their own lusts and saying various things. Or, as it puts it in the new NIV version, he says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. Above all, he says, or New King James Version, knowing this first. This is important, friends. This is something we must know. This is something we must understand. Peter says, speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's telling us something about what will happen in the last days, in the time just prior to the Lord's return. In other words, this is end times prophecy we're dealing with here. This is end times prophecy. Now, some Christians say they're not interested in prophecy, especially not interested in end times prophecy. They say they don't see the point in talking about what may or may not happen in the future. They've got no interest in speculating as to how the prophecies in the Bible might or might not work out in the end. They are interested, they say, in the here and now. In living for Christ now. That's what they're interested in. Now, of course, that sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? They're interested in a here and now. They're interested in living for Christ now. But you know what? If they were really that spiritual, they would realise that this isn't referring to something that might happen in the remote future. This very much concerns the times we're living in now. And if they or we come to that, are really concerned about living for Christ and working out our faith, working out our salvation in our daily lives, we would listen to what Peter's saying here as he's guided to write these words by the Holy Spirit. And we would take on board the things that are being said here, realizing just how important this is now, at this very time, this present time. Because, you know, when he talks about these scoffers who will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying various things, he isn't just talking about a few people somewhere out there in the world. Of course, it includes that, and it includes them, obviously. But he's talking here essentially about people who actually come into the church, people who are actually in the church, and that some of them end up in prominent positions where they can influence other people, you see. People who are not mindful, really, of the words of the holy prophets and of the commandment of Christ's apostles. If they were, they would believe that this is what it claims to be, the infallible word of God, without error, absolute truth, always relevant, completely reliable. They'd believe that if they were mindful of the words of the holy prophets and of the apostles of Jesus Christ. And they would live their lives, they would seek to live their lives in obedience to it, if they understood that that's what it is. It's the word of God. They would seek to live their lives in all holiness and godliness, as it says there in verse 11. But they don't. The kind of people that Peter is talking about here deny the word of truth. They deny it. And so, because they deny the word of truth, they walk according to their own desires, Peter says. They do what seems right in their own eyes, as it puts it in the book of Judges in the Old Testament, several places. They do what is right in their own eyes. And in these verses 3 to 7 that I want us to begin to look at this morning, Peter refers to four or five things these people deny or even scoff at. The first is the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. And I think we looked at this last time, a couple of weeks ago. And I think, you know, because he says there in verse 3, knowing this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? They scoff at the whole idea of the second coming of Christ. But I think you've got to include with that various other doctrines that are related to the second coming of Christ, such as the doctrine of imminence, that could be at any time. It could be soon. It could be now. It could be within the next hour. What some of these people do say, I believe he'll come, but hey, you know, not in my lifetime, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, 500 years. Somebody told me about somebody the other day who said maybe 1,000 years. See? So they kind of put it all back. It's not important to them, you see. You've got to include that with the doctrine of the second coming that they scoff at. You've also got to put alongside that The tribulation, the day of the Lord, the time of judgment that is coming upon this earth. You put back the rapture, you put all that back too. So they scoff at the whole idea. But that's not all, Peter says. They also willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. In other words, the doctrine of creation. At the biblical record of the record of creation, as it is stated in the Bible, that God created all things by his word. And he did it in 6 days. And as I said earlier, it was around about 6,000 years ago-ish, according to the biblical record. That they willfully forget. Not only that, the flood in the time of Noah, he mentions here, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. That they willfully forget or deny. Not only that, but also he mentions there the judgment that is yet to come. So these things, these doctrines, they deny, they scoff at, they willfully forget. And as I say, last time we spoke about the first of these, Scoffers will come saying, where is this promise of his coming? And we saw there how that if you deny that, if you don't believe in imminence, if you don't believe that Christ could come at any time, that doesn't just affect what you think, it invariably affects how you live. People, watch that video of David Wilkerson. You have to see it. You'll see some things on there that so-called Christians are doing, and I put it to you, if they believed that Jesus could appear at any time, they wouldn't do some of those things. Seriously. Wouldn't do it. But you see, they don't believe that he's coming back anytime soon, if at all. See, what you believe affects what you do. And similarly, if you don't believe in the second coming and you don't believe in imminence, then these various other doctrines that he mentions here, creation, that God created the world and he did it in 6 days, and that he upholds all things by the word of his power, and there was a judgment, a universal flood in the time of Noah, and there will be another judgment by fire sometime in the future. If you don't believe that either, then that affects the way you live too. It does. Because if you don't believe in creation, you've got to have some alternative. And the general view that people are persuaded with these days is that we all evolved. And if you believe in evolution, that affects your view on so many things. If you just think we're a higher animal, it affects your view on so many things. We'll come to that at some point, no doubt. So this morning, I want us to start to think about these other things these people willfully forget. But first of all, and coming back to what I just said, that some Christians say they are not interested in end times prophecy because they claim to be more concerned about what is happening now. The fact is, this is happening now. What the apostles says about these scoffers who will come in the last days applies to many people today. Yes, even in the church. People who scoff at the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ. People who willfully forget. What that expression means is they deliberately forget that the worlds were created by the word of God. They deliberately forget it. As a conscious act of the will, they choose to hide that truth from themselves and other people. They willfully forget the biblical account of creation by the word of God. They willfully forget that it's God who is upholding all things by the word of his power. They willfully forget, they deliberately put out of their mind any possibility that there was a universal flood in the time of Noah. And as for any future judgment of destructions of the heavens and the earth, as it says in the Bible, well, they don't believe that either. These doctrines, they either scoff at or they deny or deliberately leave out. Are there such people today? Well, obviously there are in the world. It doesn't surprise me at all that the world doesn't believe such things. But I mean in the church. Are there people in the church who deny or willfully forget or scoff at these doctrines? The answer, friends, is yes, there are. In actual fact, there are many of them in the church today. And for that reason, that is the reason why some ministries that seek to minister to the body of Christ even exist at all. I'm talking about ministries like Answers in Genesis or Creation Research that John Mackay represents, his ministry. Why do these ministries even exist? It's because there is so much unbelief, there is so much ignorance, even in the church. And obviously they aren't the only ministries who teach on that particular subject. There are others too. But what they seek to do is to teach the biblical doctrine of creation, the truth of the universal flood in the time of Noah, that the Tower of Babel was a real event, that the Bible can actually be relied upon. And they teach that, organisations like Answers in Genesis and Creation Research, they teach that, and they show from the fossil record and from scientific evidence of science and nature that what the Bible says is actually true, and we can rely upon it. And they teach this to the church, to those who profess to be Christian, as well as debate publicly in the public arena with some of the most well-respected scholars and believers in evolution there is in the world today. People like Dawkins have been debated by John Mackay and others in the public arena. This is why organisations like PWMI exist, Prophetic Witness Ministries International. They exist, they were founded to teach the end times prophecy and the doctrine especially of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when that movement was founded, ministers in the church were not teaching on that subject. Indeed, many people didn't even believe it. And so organisations like this exist to teach these truths to Christians. But you've got to ask the question, really, to be honest, why should such ministries even be needed? I mean, shouldn't Christians just accept and believe what the Bible says about these things? Shouldn't those who are called to be pastors or preachers or ministers, shouldn't they be preaching and teaching simply what the Bible says about these things? Of course they should. And if you went back a couple hundred years, you would find that generally speaking, most did. I mean, I'm not talking about necessarily all the sacramentalists and all that, but I'm talking about in the church that in any way, shape or form claimed to be evangelical. You'll find that in the main, people did. And in the main, those who called themselves Christians accepted that what the Bible says about creation is true. And what the Bible says about Noah's flood is true. And I agree that there might have been different views on the second coming, and there's various reasons for that that no doubt we'll go into at some stage. But by and large, those who profess to be Christians believe that Christ would come again. However, certainly such is not the case today. Not only do we have pastors and preachers and leaders and ministers in the church who never ever talk about these things, we have many in the church and in the ministry who don't even believe it themselves. Well, why not? Why not? I'll tell you why. Because they've bought into the lie that science has proved that the biblical accounts of creation and these various other things isn't true. They've bought into the lie that says this cannot be relied upon to tell you the truth about origins, about creation, or about much else. Come to that. They've bought into the lie that the universe began somewhere around 15 billion years ago. I say somewhere around because they're always changing it. It's usually moving further back, by the way. It used to be about 9 and then it became 10 and then it became 13. Now it's about 15 billion years ago. The universe came into existence with a big bang that you didn't need God for. Physics will work it out in the end what caused it. But they've bought into the lie that that's what happened. And they believe that science has proved that. And that as for life on Earth as we know it, it wasn't created about 6,000 years or so ago by God who spoke his word and these things came into existence. No. It's been slowly evolving for millions and millions and millions of years. As for the human race, man, he wasn't created by God, upright, in God's image, as the Bible says. No. He's just evolved from other creatures. You know, we're the cousins of the monkeys. You know, and if you want to go back far enough, you know, the blob in the sea. You know, that's where we came from. We've been evolving over millions and millions of years. All of this, they believe, science has now proved. And so it's ridiculous to believe the Bible's account of origins. It's ridiculous to believe that that is true. And to teach others that it's true, to teach your children that the Bible is actually true when it speaks about things, well, that would not only put us and them at odds with the scientific community and the general public, but it would actually, they think, make us look like a bunch of idiots to believe that the Earth is only 6,000 years old and that we've not evolved. You know, God created us. Well, that's ridiculous. It makes us look like a bunch of idiots. I'm talking not just about the people in the world, friends, they're in ignorance. I'm talking about people in the church now, people who claim to be Christian. So what do? They either come up with some interpretation of the Bible that they think allows them to accept the various views of secular scientists like evolution and Big Bang and all the rest of it, while at the same time respecting the Bible as their holy book. Theories like, for example, what we call theistic evolution. You all know what theistic evolution is, don't you? It's the idea that, well, God is the creator, but what he does through evolution. God has kind of worked with evolution down the millennia, you know, and brought things about. So yeah, God's our creator in a sense, but he did it through evolution. Theistic evolution. God's in charge of the evolutionary process. Or, in terms of what the Bible says, for example, about Noah's flood. They might interpret that as being, well, a flood happened, but it wasn't a universal flood. The waters didn't cover the whole earth, as the Bible seems to suggest. No. It was just a local flood somewhere. And in fact, some archaeologists are out trying to find out where the local flood was, and various suggestions have been made, you see. So they try and explain it away that way. Or else, they teach that all these things are what we call myth. That is to say, they're kind of based on truth, but you're not supposed to accept things like the Bible's account of creation or Noah's flood or Tower of Babel or all these other things. You're not supposed to accept them as historical or scientific fact as they are presented to us. They are a myth. They teach a kind of truth. It's for us to find out what the truth is. And by doing this sort of thing, you see, they think they can still hold the Bible with a kind of degree of respect, while at the same time accepting the views of various secular scientists and archaeologists. So, either they believe and teach ideas like these, or else they avoid the subjects altogether, telling themselves and others it isn't really relevant anyway, and it doesn't matter what your view is of Genesis 1 to 3 or Noah's flood or the second coming or the judgment to come. All that matters, many say today, all that matters is that you believe in Jesus. Don't matter if you don't believe in Genesis 1 to 3. Don't matter if you don't accept Noah's flood. Doesn't matter if you believe a Tower of Babel ever occurred. Doesn't matter if you don't believe he's coming again in power and glory to judge the earth. Those things don't really matter. Secondary doctrine, it doesn't matter. All that matters, they say, is you believe in Jesus. What do I say? I say it does matter. I say it matters immensely. And I realise I'm a nobody, and nobody's listening to me anyway, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It matters. It matters immensely. And it matters for a number of reasons. But let me just say this morning. If all that matters is that you believe in Jesus, well, which Jesus is it you have to believe in? Why, are there more than one? Well, actually, yes, there are. There are, clearly. I mean, there is the Jesus of these scriptures, who is called the Son of God, the Word of God, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Christ, the Redeemer, the Saviour, the soon and coming King, by whom and through whom the worlds were made, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. There's that Jesus. And then there are these other Jesuses whose word actually you can't really rely upon. Not really. Because in his Bible, it says that he created everything. But they say he didn't really create everything. So you can't rely on his word, can you? Think about it. Can't rely on his word. He didn't actually create the world. He didn't actually create man in the first instance to be good. Created man in the image of God, upright, sinless, and pure. No. Can't possibly have. See, while this Bible says each act of each day of creation, God declared that it was good, and then he made man, and he said, behold, it is very good. Well, according to their view, it didn't happen that way. God worked through the evolutionary process, you see. So he used the Big Bang in the first place, and then at some stage, he set in motion this evolutionary process in which life as we know it now evolved through millions of years of mutation, death, suffering and pain, all of which God was using to bring about what we see in the world today. Death and corruption and suffering and pain. That's their God. That's their Jesus. Do you get it? If theistic evolution is true, if that's their God, what he did was he used death and suffering and mutation and corruption to bring forth what is today. That's not the God described in these scriptures who created everything there is and said it is good. In other words, there was no wrong with it. And created man and woman and said, behold, very good. In other words, there was no wrong with them. In fact, he even said, in my image, I've created them. So they must have been very good, eh? And clearly, their Jesus, their God, isn't in control of all that much, when you think about it. He certainly doesn't uphold all things by the word of his power. He set the universe in motion, but even the physicists have worked out the second law of thermodynamics, entropy, everything is running down. They even worked that one out. And so God's not in control of all that much. And if he wasn't in control, really, of creation, as we understand it from the Bible, then he certainly ain't in control of what will happen in the future. So whatever it says about judgment may or may not happen. Their God's definitely not in control of that. It isn't surprising to me they don't believe in the second coming and the judgment to come if they've already jettisoned the biblical teaching of creation by the word of God. They don't believe what the Bible says about the end either. And the church is full of these people, it would appear. Ah, but it doesn't matter, they say. Just believe in Jesus. Just believe he died for you. It doesn't matter if you can't believe in Genesis 1-3 or Genesis 1-9 or Genesis 1-11 or the second coming. Just believe that Jesus died for your sins. That's all you need. Ah, but now we see the inconsistency, don't we, in what they are actually saying. What do I mean? Well, you see, the Bible tells us that death came as a result of sin. Romans 5 verse 12. Death came as a result of sin. Corruption, aging, sickness, suffering and death came through sin. Adam's sin. Adam's one sin. But if evolution is true, corruption and death had been actually around for millions and millions of years before Adam even set foot on the earth. Death, corruption, suffering, pain, been around for millions and millions of years before Adam ever set foot on the earth. Incidentally, I don't know whether everybody has heard of the Reverend John Stott, very famous Church of England, Evangelical Church of England vicar and preacher, was very well respected and I think still is. In fact, one of the first Christian books anybody ever bought me as a teenager was a book by John Stott called Understanding the Bible. It's still quite a popular book. And John Stott believed, I really meant before I started this, to nip upstairs and get the book off my bookshelf because I've still got it there, and to quote from the book, but I haven't done that and I'm not going to go looking for it now. So if anybody wants the reference, come and see me after and I'll find it for you and even what page it's on. But John Stott believed in a pre-Adamic race of humanoids. That is to say, there were some kind of humanoids before Adam, okay, who existed for thousands and thousands of years before Adam, which interestingly John Stott later on he also started to deny, did deny the biblical doctrine of hell. Okay, something happened in his life and he decided he didn't believe in hell anymore. He became what we call an annihilationist, which means that when you're dead, that's it, you're gone. Unless you're a believer, and then you go to heaven. Okay, so the unbeliever just ceases to exist. So, why I find that interesting is this. This is the reason. See, if you start by denying what the Bible says about creation and where death comes from, sin, committed by the first man Adam, then once you've gotten rid of that, which is foundational, it's not surprising then when it suits you, you can get rid of what the Bible says is the end for man who doesn't believe. Friends, what did he do? He kicked away at the foundations. And that's what so many are doing today. That's what happens when you start to kick away at the foundations. And there are many in the church today who either don't believe these foundational doctrines of Scripture, of creation, of origins, of sin and suffering and death, or that God upholds all things by the word of his power, nor do they believe what the Bible says concerning the future. That none of this can really be relied upon. It's all just myth or parable or stories meant to teach us some moral truth. Either that, or they choose not to mention such things at all, not to teach on such things in case they regarded us fools or intellectually challenged. Either way, it's deliberate, according to verse 5. They willfully forget. It's deliberate. So what do you believe? What do you think? Because what you believe about these things, what you think will affect what you do. For example, if you believe the Bible is true, if you believe, as I do, that this tells us the truth about all these things and is absolutely reliable, you will surely realise that as far as the Bible's concerned, it's all or nothing. You can't say, well, I believe in Jesus, I believe Jesus died for my sins, but I don't think Genesis 1-3 is true. And I don't accept Noah's flood. And I'm not sure about all this second coming stuff. That doesn't work, friends. It doesn't work. Get rid of Genesis 1-3, you've removed the foundations. And it says in Psalm 11 verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know what? The enemy knows that. Why do you think he's put so much effort over the last couple of hundred years trying to destroy the foundations? Why has he put so much effort into that? And you know what? Jesus believed it. Jesus believed the biblical account of creation, Matthew 19 verse 4. If it was good enough for Christ, good enough for the holy prophets, good enough for the apostles, is it not good enough for us, friends, what the Bible says? Why is it people, even ministers in the church today, choose to believe the groundless doctrines of Darwin and Co. rather than trust God's word of truth? Here's a question. Can such people really be saved? people who call themselves Christian but deny the truth of Genesis 1 to 3 and so on, could they really be saved? Look, I'm not saying you have to believe all that to be saved, but what I am saying is if you are saved, you will believe it, even if you've got to go through a period where there's a battle going on in your mind. And John Mackay, as a matter of fact, did. He was a student of geology. And because of all that he'd been taught, and then he got saved and he started to read the Bible and said to himself, hold on a minute, what this is saying is different from what I've been taught. And he went through a period where he was battling with it. But he came down to the belief that the Bible is true. Can a person who's really saved actually deny Genesis 1 to 3? I don't think so. Because to do so, you're calling God a liar. This is the church today. These are the last days. But if you don't believe what the Bible says about creation, if you don't believe God's in control, if you don't believe it's God who's upholding all things by the word of power, if you don't believe what happened in the time of Noah, then you probably won't believe that these are the last days either. It's actually what Noah found. When he preached what he preached, he found he didn't believe it. And as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. These are the days we live in. These are the last days. And if you want your pure minds to be kept pure, if you want to remain a right-thinking, straight-thinking person, you better brainwash yourself with the Word of God. Because if you don't, the world will brainwash you with its philosophy. And you end up believing something different, thinking something different. And you'll even have people in the church tell you it's okay to have an alternative point of view. If we think this Word is not true, we're calling God a liar. How can that be ever be right? Let's close with prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you that you've given us your word, and Lord God, you don't try to pull the wool over our eyes. You don't lie. Lord God, the word of God is not a lie. It is truth. And Lord God, certainly in subjects like the subjects of origins or these other things, Lord God, it certainly is at odds with what the world thinks and what the world teaches. Lord God, those who've studied the subject from both points of view, truly, Lord God, have to come to the conclusion that Lord God, Darwin's point of view, the one who seems to be upheld as being the genius of modern times, Lord God, there's not a shred of evidence anyway, and yet the world goes blindly on following that godless philosophy, whereas your word is truth. And Lord God, and because it's truth, those who believe it's truth and live their lives according to it, Lord God, live for holiness and godliness. And Lord God, the other way, the alternative way, leads to more and more corruption. Father, I pray for those of us this morning listening to this who believe, that Lord God, we would honour you by, Lord God, respecting your word, by believing it as your word of truth. Jesus said you will know the truth and it will make you free. And Lord God, I pray that, Lord, we might live in the good of that. For this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.